Welcome to the new Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news on the local Colorado economy and initiatives that focus on the development of cybersecurity economics. You don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert to get plugged in. Your host, Chris Gorog, brings it straightforward, asks the tough questions, and brings the cyber world to a level of understanding for everyone. Chris is personable and opens up with our guests on issues we all would like to see addressed. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com. Now join our host as he introduces the topic for today's New Cyber Frontier.
Welcome back to another edition of the New Cyber Frontier. My name is Sean Murray. I will be your guest today. We have a special guest welcoming back Kian Williams. You may recall back in August of last year, we had Kian Williams, our newly appointed president of the Information System Security Association. Kian's been doing some great things since he's transitioned out since the last election. And I invited Kian back to talk to us about CLASS. He is the president and CEO of the Cyber Leadership and Strategy Solutions, based out of Atlanta, Georgia. Welcome back, Kian.
Hey, thanks, Sean. It's good to be back.
Well, you know, since you left ISSA at the International Board, you're still affiliated in a very strong chapter in Atlanta. You know, you've been collaborating with other professionals, and there's such a need for information cybersecurity at the executive level. With the new laws that are being passed around the world, cybersecurity is now not one of those things an executive can overlook. The laws that are being developed, for instance, GDPR, are now holding leaders in various organizations accountable for the decisions that they make and don't make. And, you know, as a leader in the industry, especially at that level, you took an opportunity to develop a program that will help educate executives and board members at that level. Can you talk a little bit about that program and what was the strategy behind it?
Sure. This is really my pet project. So within CLASS LLC, we do all kinds of things. Some things are related to strategic planning. Some things are related to executive leadership. We do a lot of workforce development. But the cyber strategy retreat, I would say, is my baby. So we launched the program in Cupertino in June of this year. After a successful event in Cupertino, we had our Atlanta launch, and then coming up in December on the 6th, on the Friday after Black Friday, we'll hold our last conference of 2019 in Boston, which is one of my favorite cities. There's a lot of activity going on in Boston. There's a lot of business going on in Boston. There's really a lot of thought leadership, and I thought it would be a great place to end the series in one of the best places to do business, to hang out with people, to have good food, and to have good collaboration, both professionally and academically, considering all the schools that are in the Boston, New Hampshire area.
Go ahead, sir. Continue on.
The objective of the program is unique. And so instead of just being a traditional CISO event, or instead of just being a CIO event, the Cyber Strategy Retreat really brings together all executive leadership within an organization to talk about cybersecurity from a strategic perspective. What tends to happen in a lot of situations where you have conferences or you have events, or even for the dinners or the ceremonies and awards, the events usually occur in a silo where it's only CISOs or only CIOs. You know, having an MBA and being connected in business circles, even at the executive level, you still have divisions. And so I intentionally designed a program that is going to allow us to bring all of those leaders together, whether it's on the risk side, whether it's on the business side, or whether it's on the technology side, and have them all come together in a single conversation to talk about what do we want to accomplish in the future, what are the steps that it takes for us to get there, and to move beyond just allowing compliance to direct and manage the investments in cybersecurity that an organization has.
Well, this is great. So the focus isn't just on a cybersecurity professional executive, but the executives within an organization overall. We're going to come back and talk about that with Keon Williams. He is the president and CEO of Cyber Leadership and Strategy Solutions, LLC. This is Sean Murray with a new Cyber Frontier. We're just going to break for a quick moment.
Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
Welcome back to the New Cyber Frontier. My name is Sean Marie. We're in the studio today with Keon Williams. Keon is the CEO and president of Cyber Leadership and Strategy Solutions, otherwise known as CLASS, LLC, based out of Atlanta, Georgia. We were talking about some of the retreats and the focus area, not necessarily being on cyber security executive leadership, but getting all members of executive leadership together. And that makes a lot of sense, because if you think about, for any organization, the board is responsible for developing strategy, the steering for where the organization is headed, right? And so when we do that, we've got various participants. If you think about aligning that strategy to business operations, 80% of any business in any industry is considered to be automated. So how does that strategy pass to executives within an organization that brings that value?
Hey, one of the interesting things is that Marsh and Microsoft got together and did a study. And one of the interesting or important findings from the study is that out of the thousands of organizations who contributed, most of them, their executive leadership or the board of directors only thinks about cybersecurity one day per year. And so if you put that into context, and we say there are 24 hours a day, really in a regular business day, the executive leadership of an organization is only thinking about cybersecurity in any context for about 3 days, 8 hours a day, 3 days in a week, it gives you a full day to think about cybersecurity. And that is going against all of the principles that exist for corporate governance. And so the Organization of Economic Cooperative Development, the National Association of Corporate Directors, there are all these bodies that provide guidance to executive leadership about what they should be doing for cybersecurity and what they should be thinking and how they should be engaged. And the consensus is that executive leadership within the organization, either at the board of directors, if you have one, or the CEO, if your organization hasn't established a full board as a governing body, should set the direction, should set the culture, should set cybersecurity as a priority. And the Marsh and Microsoft survey is demonstrating that this is not happening. And so the feedback that we've been getting for the cyber strategy retreat is that the event is timely because we are intentionally going after non-security people and bringing them into the discussion. We're highlighting things that they need to think about. For our Cupertino and Atlanta events, the overwhelming feedback was that this was a great conversation because it was basically six keynote presentations, and each of them focused on cybersecurity from a different perspective. And what we've done for the Boston events and what will probably happen in 2020 and beyond is now we've added roundtable discussions that allow people to actually develop some sort of work product, so that when they go back to work on Monday, since the event in Boston is on a Friday, they can go back with some kind of plan of action to evaluate their strategy, update the strategy, and do new things that are going to advance the resilience and the protection of the business, not just purchase a tool because something like PCI said that I had to have antivirus. Satisfying the antivirus requirement in PCI is an important thing, but it has nothing to do with strategy. It has nothing to do with long-term planning. It's not going to equip an organization to maintain sound practices as technology and regulatory requirements change. And so this is one of the reasons and one of the driving factors behind the creation of the event and the vision that went into the focus on the content.
Yeah, so you've been doing this for the better part of the year now, and you've had several different events at different locations. What are the after effects after a cyber retreat? Do you still see a strong collaboration between participants, and how are you facilitating that in your networks?
One of the things that we committed to our participants was that this was not going to be an event where we captured a lot of demographic and contact information and sold it to vendors. So we've been very discreet and very considerate, especially when you think that, well, you know, Keon is saying that you're bringing all these people together and it's not a CISO event. Well, if I bring CIOs and CEOs and other business executives to the table, we have a duty to be very considerate about their time, because cybersecurity isn't the only thing they have to think about. It's important, and we continue to make ourselves available. You know, for all of the attendees, we have provided the materials. You know, we had 12 keynote speakers for the two events, and even though every speaking slot was not designated as a keynote presentation, every speaker in our first two events and the speakers who were lined up for the event in Boston are all people who would be keynotes in any other event. And so we thought that it would be valuable to make sure that people had the slides, that they had the contact information. If they wanted to engage with the speakers directly, we created a group on LinkedIn to allow people to opt in to engaging in the content instead of being force-fed anything, so that, again, we could make sure that we respect people's time, that we respect, you know, their limited availability, and that we really are turning the follow-up from the conference into a service and an opportunity to engage if you need it, but otherwise kind of stepping out of the way and letting people take the tools and the information and develop their own approach for managing their security strategy.
Yeah, you know, that's a key point for executives. We get bombarded with, you know, marketing, and we just don't have the time. In some instances, it's more word of mouth when we're making those decisions. We collaborate with other professionals in our industry, and, you know, before we kick the tires on something, cold calling and telemarketing just doesn't work for that audience. So if I was to be an executive, how would I approach Class LLC and participate in one of your events? How would I contact you? How would I qualify to, is there any criteria to participate in one of your events?
No, we actually don't do any strong vetting. The price for participation kind of leads people to only come to the event if they really want to be at the event. You know, when my role transitioned from CISO, serving other organizations, to being the CEO and running an organization, you would not believe the number of, or the increase in solicitation that I get. You know, I continue to get solicitations because people recognize what I did in the past. And then I get solicitations about every manner of activity. And so we've made engaging with us very easy. The website, www.classllc.com, is easy to remember. It's easy to get to. If you go to the homepage and then scroll down to events, the event for Boston is clearly listed along with other things that we offer to people. If you really want to go to the events and you want to learn more, you can fill out the information form, and me or one of the executive members of our team will follow up with you directly. We have taken a lot of care to provide a white glove service, again, because our primary customer for the strategy retreat is executive participants. We're following up within 24 hours. It's a real follow-up. It's not follow-up from salespeople, because the purpose of the event is not to sell you something. The purpose of the event is to bring people together and move the needle and improve the landscape. And because of that, you know, we've taken a lot of time and effort to make communication with us very easy, to make joining the event very easy. You know, we've aligned with the local ISSA chapter. One of our speakers contributes significantly to Harvard University and to Harvard Business Review. So there's a lot of engagement with the business community in the Boston area. So So I think similar to what we saw as successful outcomes in Cupertino and Atlanta, that this is going to shape up to be a great event, and it's intentionally going to be a smaller event because, again, it's the Friday right after Thanksgiving. And so it'll be an opportunity to engage. It'll be an opportunity to connect. And it'll be at the Mandarin Oriental Hotel, which has a level of luxury that goes beyond what you would normally see at this type of event.
Yeah, it sounds like that white glove treatment is, to be honest, when you're at that level, it's not necessarily, it's a perk that allows people to be more comfortable in that environment, and then collaborate a little bit more. You want to be relaxed, you want to be comfortable. It sounds very intriguing. We're going to come back and talk a little bit more about the event, and then what's the future for Class LLC in these events? Where do we see it going? Can this be international? Our guest today is Keon Williams. We welcome him back. He is the CEO for the Cyber Leadership and Strategy Solutions, LLC, based out of Atlanta, Georgia. We'll be right back after this break. Security Services are your cybersecurity experts with decades of experience providing professional training services for our clients in various industries. We offer professional training and certification in areas of cybersecurity, safety, health, and environmental services at our academy. Our in-person and online training provides a collaborative environment where students can interact directly with instructors through live chats or in private classrooms. Visit MurraySecurityServices.com for more information. Welcome back. Our guest is Keon Williams here on the New Cyber Frontier. My name is Sean Murray. We've been talking with Keon regarding a unique entry into the cybersecurity realm, and it's not just geared towards cybersecurity, but the focus for executives in many organizations is to develop, maintain, and collaborate on strategy in dealing with how we incorporate and maintain a cybersecurity hygiene within our organization. Welcome back, Keon. You know, one of the things that you were talking about was the collaboration between participants at these events. Where do you see the organization going in these events? And is there anything on the horizon that you plan to add to this audience?
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't call it a strategy retreat if there wasn't a strategy behind the program. One of the reasons for the name Cyber Strategy Retreat is that in the future, and it's not too distant of a future, but in a couple of years, we're building the capacity, identifying the location, and aligning with partners that are going to allow us to present this as a four-day executive retreat. You know, taking it back to the old school, doing like they did in the late 80s and early 90s, where people can go to a specific location, you know, put the hammer down, put their heads down, and focus on developing the corporate strategy for the organization. And that corporate strategy will integrate security into whatever business objectives the organization wants to achieve. As we're working to get there, you know, there's a strategy for the retreat to slowly expand locations. So we will always be in Silicon Valley because we have some great partners there. The Silicon Valley ISSA chapter has been a great strategic partner. There are a lot of great companies that are located there. And so we have a plan to continue to be there indefinitely. I live in Atlanta, so we'll always be in Atlanta. And Boston will continue to be a fabulous location. So we have already scheduled the 2020 calendar for our major events. There is some interest in Cape Town, South Africa, to host the event. Cape Town is a great place in the Africa region to do an event. It's easy to get to. And so our friends and partners in the Middle East have some interest in going down there, maybe in 2021, as we finalize the program and tailor it to satisfy some of the unique concerns that happen in the region. And then the similar idea applies to Singapore, where we have some great partners. And I go there about four times a year for other business. So we're looking at opportunities to expand the program there. In addition to the major conferences, we're also working with people in other locations so that we can offer a condensed version of the Cyber Strategy Retreat as a luncheon or as a dinner that still produces the same outcome, has the same quality, but doesn't require the same level of commitment, so that we can still bring together the business, the security, and the technology leaders and have them start to have these conversations in advance of the major conferences that will be hosted all over the place.
Outstanding. So it looks like you've got a strategy for growth in some of these other areas. I could definitely see a market in Europe. You know, one of the best places that I see, I've done some conferences there myself, is in The Hague. There's a CISO summit, a European CISO summit that happens there every year. But this could be one of those add-ons where, you know, having a one-day event, because I know some instances you will come into an organization and just have a one-day event where you're talking about a cyber strategy. You know, so I could see those types of things evolving into your program. What if I wanted to be a presenter or a speaker? You know, I can't imagine that. You know, I can imagine that you're very selective as to who's presenting. What are the types of speakers, and what is the criteria to be able to participate in an event like this?
Well, ideally, we're looking for thought leadership in all three of the domains that we're focusing on. You know, we've had security executives, IT executives, and business executives as speakers for each session. As we look at the 2020 calendar and we identify opportunities for people to speak, there are two keynotes. So as a three-day conference, each day is going to include a keynote. It'll include two featured speakers, and it'll include 90 to 120 minutes of strategic roundtable discussions. And so for the strategic roundtable discussions, there are plenty of opportunities for people to be topic leaders. We have a great lineup of topic leaders for Boston, and we'll continue that trend. I'm actually excited that Paige Needling and Ron Ross have both agreed to be the keynote speakers for July. So we've already identified our keynotes in July 2020 in Atlanta, but we still need roundtable leaders, and we still need the featured speakers. So there's lots of opportunities for both CIOs, for CISOs, for CEOs who are interested in cybersecurity strategy, who want to contribute, to engage with us and let us know. You know, it's me and the advisory board who make the final decision. So my advisory board is a collection of the type of people who would qualify as speakers. And so then we just take the best proposals and make the selection about where they fit and how they contribute to things that are already in motion and some of the speakers that have already been established. If you take Ron, for example, you know, Ron Ross is a luminary from NIST. He is an advocate of security engineering, and security engineering has a place in your cybersecurity strategy. And so we would probably tailor the selection of speakers and contributors for the Atlanta events to kind of hover around that concept of security engineering and building security into your program and allowing long-term resilience instead of just a patchwork of disparate systems and solutions and connections. And so there isn't really a theme beyond cybersecurity strategy, but as we look at different topic areas or what the different keynotes are speaking about, there are definitely ways to align speakers of different capability to specific locations and events.
So you mentioned you have an advisory board, which I guess for me that provides additional credibility. While you're a leader in your own industry and you know, been involved internationally with ISSA and IAPP and international traveling, you've got your own business. ventures going on. An advisory board provides additional credibility because you're not the only one making the decision. What are the additional things that your advisory board is looking at? What are you guys strategizing on as you continue to grow?
Well, all of the advisory boards are executive leaders in their own right, and the reason for having the advisory board was to make sure that this event wasn't what Keon thinks, but it's going to be the event that provides the greatest value to everybody who comes. And so, you know, some of our advisors are business leaders, some of them are IT leaders. We have a lot of security leaders, but all of them have decades of experience dealing with cybersecurity strategy as leaders at their own companies. Some of them have retired and gone into consulting. You know, one of them is about to be the CISO for the Department of Revenue for a large state that has dealt with trillions of dollars in budget and had to develop the strategy for the state that he comes from. And so all of these people are just adding quality to the content that we're providing at each of the events. If we take Boston, for example, the advisory board helped identify the roundtable topics that we're going to talk about in the strategic discussions. You know, they kind of help evaluate the speaker submissions to determine who are going to be the best speakers. And it was in consultation with the advisory board that we selected Eric McNulty to be the keynote speaker for Boston. Eric has a great article in Harvard Business Review about what boards can do to prepare for crisis, and that focus on crisis management at the board level provided the foundation for everything else that we're going to do in Boston. And I couldn't have come to that decision without, one, Eric being gracious and being willing to contribute, and then two, without the advisory board kind of thinking about what other things in terms of topic and speakers would contribute to such a fabulous keynote.
Well, that's great. You know, the advisory board, the strategy, the participants, the venues, there's a lot of a collaboration, a lot of quality. It appears that's built into your program. So, you know, closing thoughts, where would you like to see this program in the next 5 to 10 years?
Well, you know, in the next 5 to 10 years, within the next 4 years, we will definitely be doing the 4-day executive offsites. One of our advisory board members is an expert in this area. And so we have 4 years to design and plan it before we launch. You know, the conference itself has been in the planning phase for 3 years before we launched it in 2019. And as we go forward, all I see is an expansion. You know, this will never be an event like RSA and Black Hat, which add a lot of value to the ecosystem, but are focused on specific areas that exclude some of the people that I'm intentionally bringing to the table. And as we continue to keep it small, the event will never be more than 200 people. But the opportunity to host this conference in other cities, you know, I would love to do this in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Washington, D.C., Tampa. There are all kinds of places on the East Coast, in addition to bringing it to Denver, to Austin, to Dallas, to L.A. There's a lot of opportunity to bring the message to a lot of parts of the United States, to expand into Canada. I'm working on my conversational Spanish. I would love to do this in Mexico City or Santiago, Chile. And we already have a roadmap for launching this in Africa and Asia. I don't think there is any limitation. I think the key idea is making sure that people are engaged, that they're going to participate in the event, and that we get the right 200 people so that every participant is also a contributor. And it adds value to everybody who joins us.
Wow, this is great. You know, your contributions continue on. You move on from one role to another. You know, this collaboration that you've got at the executive level with a cyber retreat to get, you know, levels of the organization that need to develop strategies as technology changes. I think everything that you're doing, and I think our listeners would agree, is outstanding. The strategy for moving forward and to be able to execute this is significant. I think the venues where you're going, the speakers that you're bringing in to the program are interesting. They're compelling, and I think there's nowhere for you and your organization to go but up. So in closing, I'd like to say thank you to Keon Williams. Keon Williams is the CEO of the Cyber Leadership and Strategy Solutions, LLC. Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts in your program today, Keon.
Yes, it was my pleasure. You know, this is a great podcast. I'm honored to be featured, considering all the other wonderful people who are here. So it was a pleasure to contribute and to share the message with the wider audience.
Well, thank you again, Keon, and you have a wonderful afternoon. This is Sean Murray at the New Cyber Frontier. We've been on the phone or on the podcast today with Keon Williams from Class LLC.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of New Cyber Frontier. Remember, please follow and participate as New Cyber Frontier is supporting a grassroots community effort to empower the individual in the digital age. Check it out at privacyforthepeople.org. Also, make sure to join our mailing list so we can keep you informed. If you have an idea, if you have a question you would like to hear answered, or if you just want to get involved in what we're doing, reach out to us at newcyberfrontier.com. We also encourage you to visit our sponsors' links because they are the ones that really make this show possible. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode of New Cyber Frontier.